First up on today's show, Brad Reed Nelson is a custom furniture maker and designer working in metal and wood in the Roaring Fork Valley. He and his wife own Board by Design, located in Glenwood Springs. Brad's distinctive approach is modern, playful, innovative, extremely functional, and often with duality, revealing the beauty within the everyday. His sculpture, titled The Knuckle, is located in front of Town Hall as part of the 2019 Art Around Town program through the Carbondale Public Arts Commission. KDNK volunteer Abby Gerke joins Brad by phone.
Thanks for speaking to me, Brad, and welcome to Express Yourself. Full disclosure, Brad and his wife Anne are also my landlords. I'm lucky to live directly above his shop. Brad and I have agreed to set our landlord-tenant differences aside for this interview, so thanks, Brad, for being here.
Oh, I'm so glad we were able to come to an amicable agreement.
Yes, yes. So, Brad, for those that don't know you, can you tell us about yourself?
I can, I think.
Okay.
So my name's Brad Reed Nelson, and I have been a maker in the Roaring Fork Valley for just at 20 years. I came here because of Anderson Ranch Art Center. I came to be a student and then an assistant and then an interim director. And in that time, made many lovely friends and acquaintances and decided that this was the place that I should live and start my business and studio. And that was in 2000. And I've been a furniture maker since 1998. And I actually, 1989, let's reverse those numbers, sorry. And I've actually been working with wood since I was a little boy because my father was a shop teacher before becoming an electrical engineer. So it was very common for us to make something or repair something in our home growing up. And I've been running my company, Board by Design, since 2002. And you can see our work up and down the valley in places like Sure Thing Burgers, The Way Home. You can go see it at the Red Brick Center. We're getting ready to do a shiny new ice cream venue in Glenwood called Sunday. We've just completed two restaurants in Aspen, one called Bear Den and one called Jonas. And then we make a line of organizational products that many Roaring Fork Valley people have bought that help you organize your keys, phone, wallet, things like that. Things that if you knew where they were, your life would be a little less stressful. I've talked a bunch in a row there. Do you want to interject?
Sure, sure. I have to say I am a proud owner of one of your wall hanging key holders.
So. An eyewear rack, or do you have the one with the magnets?
I have the one with the elastic rope.
So that one's the eyewear rack. That was our first idea, and we actually came up that in 1998 for our own eyewear collection while living in Tempe, Arizona, just finishing grad school. And my wife and I had an abundance of eyewear sunglasses because Phoenix is constantly bright, and wanted a solution that treated the glasses like we liked them instead of throwing them in a bowl or on the counter. Mm-hmm. So I made those for myself, for my wife Anne, and then other friends asked for them. And eventually I made, in the combination of all the different products we've made, maybe 6,000 or 7,000.
Wow. So along those lines of functionality, most of your work seems really functional, and the knuckle sculpture, which we're here to talk about today, is, in my mind, something that's going away from your functionality, and I want to know, why is this sculpture important to you?
Funny is actually still rooted in function. So we have a product called the knuckle. It's a metal joint. You can see that at Sure Thing Burger. And what it does is it brings together the skirt of a table and the legs. It makes it a very strong structure with a metal design element that everything sleeves into. And it gives you the ability to powder coat it, paint it, patina it, but give it color and a lot of depth and playfulness. And in the product, in the process of getting that product to market, you're always looking at the ways to kind of showcase the uniqueness of it. So I made a small linear drawing of it, and then I couldn't seem to see it well enough. So then I decided to make a small linear sculpture of it, basically drawing the outside lines of the three elements. And once I was done with that, I hung it in my shop and I spun it and photographed it. I really liked it as the object. So we turned that into the logo for the company, and we put it on shirts and stickers and so forth. So when we'd go to New York to do trade shows, we'd give away things like that. And then I kept playing with the form. I really liked the form. So then I made one that was 36 inches, you know, in height, and put it out in the back of my studio and just stared at it and then watched the way light moves through it and how it drew more lines on the ground. And I just, again, found that really entertaining and wanted to play with the scale again. So then we welded up, and I say we, Dan Geezy, he's worked for me for 7 years. We welded up one that was the height of me, and it really started to change that interaction. And it's kind of like what Klaus Olderbrick does, you know, where you know a spoon and you know a cherry or you know a toilet, whatever it is, and then you change the scale of it or you change the material of it and you see it and you contextualize it in a different way. So
okay.
It's really fun. It's fun to see people now go climb on it and things like that.
Yeah, I was going to say that when this same piece, I believe, was in the Art Base, it was really tempting to climb on it. So you do encourage people to touch it and climb on it.
I just look the other way, ideally.
Right.
In the encourage portion, like at the Art Base, of course, they're like, please do not encourage people to do that because there's no gallery attendant at the Art Base. And so they'd prefer not to perpetuate that. On the one in front of the town hall, I haven't gone and told people to do that. But that being said, my daughter has brought her friends over there and hung out on it. There is a woman that lives in the house or lives in the condos above Backbone Media, and she is kind of the police for whatever sculpture is there. I met her at the sculpture tour last spring, and she saw my daughter and others on it and yelled down, "Hey, get off that sculpture." And then my daughter yelled back up, "Hi, I met you before. My dad made this." And she goes, "Oh, okay, great."
That's funny.
So there's a guardian out there for it.
And so what is the significance of the rope that is attached to the knuckle?
The idea is that it's that soft and hard. So you've got this form that's so hard. And that line that's so defined. And then the idea of something tethering to it that's out of a different material and that can be moved or interacted with. Now, when it was at the Art Base, it was just a spooled up hemp rope. And then, of course, in the public sector, it needs to be a little more controlled. So then we captured it in 3 points. But ideally is that it can be manipulated. So here's this large form that really can't be changed, and then there's this portion of it. And then the idea that you could walk away with it by having this tether, even though you really can't walk away with it since it weighs so much. But
okay.
It's just a chance for the viewer to kind of interact with it.
So this large sculpture knuckle is, like you said, a larger version of the smaller knuckle, and anyone can purchase their own knuckle?
I have made lots of little and big sculptures, and last year for Anderson Ranch's benefit dinner, we did all the centerpieces. I think we made 36 little knuckles. But yes, you can pretty much, you know, if you're an artist, everything's for sale. So everything but my soul is for sale.
And do you encourage people to buy the actual, I believe, patented knuckle to build upon itself and make their own design?
We do. So we will sell them as just the parts, or we'll make the furniture for you. And we make them from 1.5 inch tubing up to a 4 inch tubing. And we literally, as of last week, received the patent on our new version, which is called the Instanuckle. Mm. And it relies on using 4x4s and 2x3s from a lumber yard, so that you would go to the lumber yard and either have them cut these pieces to length, or you would come home and cut them to length. And then you slide it together, and instead of doing some wood joinery in the process, all you would do is tighten up a bolt in the back of the bracket that would be inside and underneath the table, and you could make tables and benches and desks and so forth. And it's really fun for the DIY portion, but the other component that we're really excited about is the idea of resurrection, that you could go and help a hurricane relief situation with a pile of lumber and our metal joints. You could build desks and beds and benches that you could help hospitals and schools and churches. And so the next step is to figure out how we can donate a portion of those to different organizations.
Wow. Wow, that seems really incredible.
We hope it is.
Yeah. So when
the more you make stuff, sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
The more you make things, the more it's fun to figure out ways you can actually help. And I think this one would be, I mean, I think it would feed our soul. And my daughter and my wife and I love the idea. We love the idea that we would donate them and then fly down and actually help.
Mm-hmm.
As you get older, you're looking for a richer experience.
Well, it seems like you're on the right path there. So I can attest that you, Brad, work a lot. Living right above you, I know that the light is always on. And I want to know from you, when do you do your best work? When do you think that you get the most done and the best quality?
It's mornings, it's weekends, and it's when no one's around. And it's probably, you know, 9 to noon on a weekend where I just go and be and take my time and get to be quiet. And maybe quiet means my music's really loud, but mentally I'm quiet.
Mm-hmm.
And I really do the most of my drawing and problem solving out on my bike or skinning. Like yesterday, I'm working on something and I want to pursue 3 people's opinions and I couldn't decide who. And as I skinned up Tyhack, I determined who my list was. And it was that kind of finally letting go of all the clutter in your brain. So that's my meditative space, is, you know, going to ride Red Hill by myself or
Right. Standing
up somewhere.
Moving meditation.
But I do work a lot. And I have a duality in my mind where when I... Sometimes I'm making things and it feels like a production shop, and then other times it's my art studio. And where people would be like, when do you take a break? In my mind, I'm a different person using the space differently. And so I need that time to be both things, the artist and the designer. And I'm also, you know, people's boss, so I have to get in there and get those people going. And I hope that when I do work all the time, I did not disrupt your life.
No, we actually welcome the subtle noise all the time. It's nice to know that something's always going on. Yeah. A couple more questions I have are specifically about your choice of material. How do you, or do you, when you are ordering your wood, what goes through your mind when you're thinking about the material?
Well, material, a lot of times is dictated by the client. And so those are the things you love the most of. So I probably love walnut. And always, it's always fun to look at another tree, see what the beauty inside it is. A lot of times material is based on the budget. And so something that's affordable or more affordable.
Mm-hmm.
And then I love the mix of wood and metal because I love that the unpredictability of wood. Every piece is different. And I also love that metal that you order always is a 20-foot stick, an inch by an inch, and that you start cutting it up and you have a lot of control, and then you do things like powder coat it, and it takes it out of that industrial and it puts it into more of a playful and plastic-like element. And But it's kind of, you know, project specific. So if you said like the knuckle sculpture, that in wood would be a very different object. And to have as much structural integrity would need to be much thicker.
Hmm.
So to have a light linear quality, steel really adds and aids in that process.
And can we expect any wooden knuckles coming out?
I have a picture in my head. I always have pictures in my head. I just got to get to them. I have one where it's metal corners. It's a large sculpture that's got metal corners, and each long run is wood.
Hmm.
And it's you kind of see the fasteners, and it's a little more, I don't want to say heavy-handed, but you see the hand more in the process.
Well, thank you. What, Brad, what's next for you and for Board by Design?
Now that we have the patent on that product, we really need to launch that. That's a big focus. And last year, we built our dream studio. And this year, I want to make sure that that studio becomes more of my art studio, where in the last 18 months, we've been all about making sure we're a functioning, profitable business and that we have a good team around us. Now we need to go back and make sure that we built this for the right reason, which is so we can be mad scientists in the studio without being very mad.
Right. And along the lines of being mad, what type of wood gives you the most splinters?
The most splinters? The worst is cocobolo. And it, you'll be running your hand down the edge and get a splinter. And then if you don't get it out, it's like poison, as Bobby Brown would say.
Where does that type of wood come from?
It comes from South America. And we try not to use exotic woods when given a choice.
Mm.
Most things that I have that are exotic are left over from years ago. Like I said, I've been a woodworker since 1989. So if I have something special, I'm glad, but it's not something I like to perpetuate. It's kind of like diamonds. I'm not a big fan of them, but if you gave me your grandmother's, I can't really throw it away. It's not going to help anybody. So I'm going to enjoy it.
Right. Well, thanks, Brad, for being on Express
Abby, thank
Yourself.
You.
And a big thanks to Abby Gierke for hosting that interview with Brad Reed Nelson. Carbondale Public Art Commission is now seeking 15 outdoor street sculptures for Art Around Town 2020. Applications are open to local, regional, and national artists, and the deadline for entries is February 2nd. For details, email L. Lindberg, that's LINDBERG, @carbondaleco.net.